Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Welcome all to our program, The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy day to join us here on August 15, 2020, for our program. We will get started in just a minute, but a reminder about our website.
Hello, everyone. This is Rick Sterling, and sorry about that little glitch. Dennis is not here yet this morning. He will be here a little later on. It seems like whenever something comes up for Dennis, it is happening during the time that we're having our broadcast.
So it's not on its 14th day.
It is January the 15th. And I'm just trying to get my computer shut down over here because the battery's low. Anyway, I want to welcome you from taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our broadcast today, and I hope that you will be blessed with the information that we'll be discussing. Want to let you know that there is a new article that you can find on the, I believe it's on WordPress, and it has to do with what we have been discussing since last August. And that is the August one. We have two websites. You can find our original website at www.spiritoftruthministry.net/SOT. You can find the final chart on there that I have referred to several times lately, an explanation of how that chart was put together and what the expectation was. And I believe that Dennis also put that chart on the WordPress site so it can be made available for you. The WordPress site is www.spiritoftruthministry.net. I know there's a lot of things that are happening of late that for most people are quite concerning. We're going to talk about that a little bit. First, would like to have prayer, and then we will get started. Father, Mother, and Brother, hallowed be your name. We come humbly and reverently before you, seeking for wisdom and understanding of the information that you so generously have not only given to us, but have preserved for us in a way in which we can access it and understand it through the guidance and the help of the Holy Spirit. I ask that you give me the words, the thoughts, and the insight to share with the people who are listening. I pray that the situation that is taking place here in the United States at this time will soon be resolved, and that your will be done. We ask that we be ready when you need us to enter into your service full time, fully prepared, and strengthened with the strength that you will give all those in your service. We love you. Amen. I'm going to start the study today with the words in the Lord's Prayer, the quote-unquote Lord's Prayer. We find this in Matthew chapter 6, and he said this shortly after he was telling them what true prayer was. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 5. And when you pray, do not imitate the hypocrites. They love to say their prayers standing up in the synagogues and at the street corners for people to see them. I tell you solemnly, they have had their reward. But when you pray, go to your private room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in that secret place. Father, who sees all that is done in secret, will reward you. In your prayers, do not babble as the pagans do, for they think that by using many words, they will make themselves heard. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be held holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth just as it is in the heavens. And then he went on. A simple prayer that takes less than 30 seconds and covers the whole breadth and length and depth of what our request should be and how we make that request. The key point here is two points. Your kingdom come. What does that really mean? Your kingdom come. What are you asking for? Why did the Son of God, who is the King of the kingdom of his Father, why did he put that first? Well, if you've been listening to our broadcasts throughout time, and tomorrow we will be celebrating 27 years since the first meeting in the Sabbath school at church. 27 years ago started the revelation of Jesus, which went for, I believe it was 17 years before the church made it impossible for us to continue. The kingdom of the Father is necessary. It's not what God hopes to establish on earth. It is what he must establish on earth. And that is why I believe it is the first request in this prayer the Son of God taught to his disciples. Why is it first? The way that God defeats Satan and his fellow insurrectionists is by using his kingdom to conquer the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of Satan is also known as the kingdom of the world. And as the kingdom of the world is here on this world, and it is a spiritual kingdom. And you may wonder what I mean by that. What I mean by that is that it is a kingdom of the mind. A kingdom of the mind is a kingdom of thoughts, of words, of conviction. It is either a kingdom of truth or a kingdom of lies. Now, there is a kingdom that exists between truth and lies, and that is what I have term, how I understand it, kingdom of the heavens. And it is exemplified by the children of Israel and the mixed multitude of nations that God led, using Moses, out into the wilderness. They had willingly left Egypt. And the ruler of Egypt sat on Satan's throne, the throne of Satan. Well, they may have called it Ra or Amen or Moshe or Tut, but the throne that the Pharaoh of Egypt sat on was the throne of the gods. And Pharaoh was seen as a son of the gods. So when the children of Israel and the mixed multitude of nations followed the God of the heavens, the God, the true God in the heavens, out of Egypt, God's plan was to change them from subjects of the gods of this world to subjects of the true God in the heavens. They needed to be baptized first before they were to be sanctified. And so God led them through the water, the divided waters of the Red Sea. They passed between the waters under or below the waters without getting wet. They did pass through the waters and they were baptized. That is the first demand of righteousness. After you have made the decision to leave the kingdom of the world. And out in the wilderness, God set about accomplishing the second part, the second demand of righteousness. And that is sanctification, or the cleansing of the mind. Removing the lies and replacing them with the truth. Once the mind is 100% truth, and I'm not saying 100% of all knowledge, I'm saying what is in the mind is truth and not lies. That is when you enter the kingdom of God. So when you pray, "Thy kingdom come," have you ever asked the question, well, how does it come? Is there something I need to do, or is it something that God needs to do, or is it something that God and I need to do together, to work together? And that is precisely what it is. You need to willingly learn the truth. Now, God gave Moses the truth when he gave him the words of the law, the first five books of the Bible. And God reiterated the truth and stressed the importance of the truth through the many prophets that he sent both to the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and also the judges. They were to inform people on the law, and whether they were practicing the law or whether they were breaking the law. The prophets came about 100 years before Israel went into exile. For 100 years or so, the prophets warned the people that they were not doing what God required them to do. They were not becoming what God needed them to be. They were still worshiping gods that were no gods at all. The same gods as the gods of Egypt with different names. There were a few, but not enough, who remained steadfast in their allegiance to the true God in the heavens. Which brings us to the second part in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth, just as it is in the heavens. Now, the heavens that he is talking about is everything outside of the sphere of earth. And what does it mean to do the will of God? Well, God has not left us guessing. In fact, God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, to testify to the truth. So that those who will learn his testimony will know the truth. And the truth, he says, will set you free. Set you free from what? Well, in the example of the children of Israel in Egypt, set us free from Egypt. But you say, well, we don't live in Egypt. But Egypt is not a place. It's a people. The peoples whose mind is full of the lies of the gods of this world is in the kingdom of this world. And in order to leave the kingdom of this world, we need to learn the truth. Because when we live in the kingdom of the world, we are in prison, a spiritual prison, which brings to mind the words that the Son of God said to the religious leaders in his dissertation on the truth. He said and you find this in John chapter 8 in talking about slave and being set free, starting with verse 34, Jesus replied, I tell you most solemnly, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Now the slave's place in the house is not assured, but the son's place is assured. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are descended from Abraham, but in spite of that, you want to kill me because nothing I say has penetrated into you. Nothing I say has penetrated into you. John chapter 8, I started in verse 34. That specific verse is 38. What I, for my part, speak of is what I have seen with my Father. I have seen it, and I am an eyewitness, giving eyewitness testimony. But you put into action the lessons learned from your Father. Then they say they are Abraham's children, and he says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do as Abraham did. And then he says, after they say that God is their father, if God were your father, you would love me, since I have come here from God. Yes, I have come from him. Not that I came because I chose. No, I was sent by him. Remember, anyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave of sin. What does the truth do? The truth sets you free from slavery to sin. In order to leave Egypt and enter the kingdom of God, you need to admit something to yourself, which is probably one of the hardest things for anyone to do. You have to admit this, you have to acknowledge this, and you have to know. Everything that you have been taught about God and entering his kingdom is a lie. Because we have not been taught the truth in the matter. And who's responsible for this? Us? No. The evil one is responsible for this. Just like the religious leaders in the days when the Son of Man testified to the truth in the presence of thousands of witnesses, the religious leaders who were the guardians of the truth, and they were to testify to the truth so that the people would know the truth, they had been mastered by the lies of the evil one. And that's what they were teaching the people. Now, these lies were carefully crafted because they used the facade of truth. They stressed the law of Moses. They enforced the law of Moses. But it was their version of the law of Moses because they felt God had given them a divine right since they sat in Moses' chair. And that's what the Son of God told them. They sat in Moses' chair. Therefore, they were able to interpret the meaning of the law, the true meaning Well, they had turned the law into a lie. In the United States, we have seen a really good example of how this can happen. Depending upon the judges that have been placed in the courts, determines the outcome of any case. So if the judge is left-leaning or leftist, no person on the right can expect to have a fair and just decision made. And the left or the leftists can expect that whatever crime they commit, guilty for, that has the evidence to prove that they did the crime, they are let go completely free.
Rick, you mentioned the most difficult thing for a person to do, and that is reflected in what we see on the left. It has just come out that inadvertently a CNN reporter completely debunked the idea that Donald Trump incited insurrection. And even this reporter didn't catch it. But they can't lie consistently because keeping track of lies is almost impossible. So the biggest issue with the left is self-honesty. They have told themselves the lie so often and so loudly that they actually believe the lie.
It has become their reality. They have constructed a false reality, which to them is real and the way that things should be. And so they have to construct a false world for their false reality to exist in. Turn to Revelation 13, and I just want to kind of go from what we've been talking about to let you know what is going on right now. And I want you to understand, look carefully, because what you are going to see is what is going on right now. The devil had put together a masterful plan. It was going to be his ultimate swan song. In fact, he believed his lies so much that I think he believed he would be like the phoenix. God would put him in the lake of fire where he would burn. But the fire would only change him into a stronger being than he had been before, a being who could overcome even God and rise from the lake of fire like the phoenix. That's what happens when you've told your lies for so long, you believe them to be the truth, even when God himself has said otherwise. Revelation chapter 13, starting with verse 1. Then I saw a beast emerge from the sea. It had 7 heads and 10 horns, with a coronet on each of its 10 horns, and its heads were marked with blasphemous titles. I saw that the beast was like a leopard, with paws like a bear, and a mouth like a lion. The dragon had handed over to it his own power and his throne and his worldwide authority. I saw that one of its heads seemed to have had a fatal wound, but that this deadly wound had healed. And after that, the whole world had marveled and followed the beast. They prostrated themselves in front of the dragon because he had given the beast his authority. And they prostrated themselves in front of the beast, saying, "Who can compare with the beast? How can anybody defeat him?" For 42 months, the beast was allowed to mouth its boasts and blasphemies and to do whatever it wanted. And it mouthed its blasphemies against God, against his name, his holy tent, and all those who are sheltered there. Remember that. His holy tent and all those who are sheltered there. It was allowed to make war against the saints and to conquer them, and given power over every race, people, language, and nation. All people of the world will worship it. That is, everybody whose name has not been written down since the foundation of the world in the book of life of the sacrificial lamb. If anyone has ears to hear, let him listen. Captivity for those who are destined for captivity. The sword for those who are to die by the sword. This is why the saints must have consistency and faithfulness. Now, as you know, what I've said over the last few months, I have come to understand that what I have just read to you is not going to be enforced. Now, I'll say that it is not going to happen, but I will say that with a caveat. The beast that we read about that comes out of the sea is already here. It just hasn't come out of the sea per se. What we read about this beast is that it subdues the whole world and the saints. And that, remember I said to key in on that point where it talks about 42 months the beast is allowed to mouth its boasts and blasphemies. And it is allowed to make war against the saints and conquer them. That word saints, we need to understand what it means. Saints are holy people. Holy people are righteous, sinless pure, sanctified people.
Righteous in fact.
They are people who have transitioned from the kingdom of the world through the kingdom of the wilderness, also known as the kingdom of the heavens, into the kingdom of God. They are in the kingdom of God. And the reason that I know they are in the kingdom of God is because they are called holy. And God does not call a sinful person holy, even if they don't want to be a sinful person. If they still believe any lies, remember what the Son of God said. Anyone who sins is a slave of sin. You cannot be in the kingdom of God and be a slave of sin. Because when you're a slave of sin, you do what the slave master of sin tells you to do or has told you to do. Now go up to Revelation chapter 12. It starts out with the dragon that we read about in 13. And a woman who is standing on the moon, clothed with the sun, has a crown of 12 stars. The crown of 12 stars means that she is the queen of the kingdom of God, clothed with the sun, standing on the moon. The moon being a feminine symbol. Clothed with the light of the sun is the truth, or clothed with the power of God and authority of God. She gave birth to the only begotten Son of God. And he was taken up to heaven and God's throne. What happened to her? We read that the woman, this is verse 6, while the woman escaped into the desert or wilderness, where God had made a place of safety ready for her to be looked after in the 1260 days. And then we read in verse 13 and 14. As soon as the devil found himself thrown down to the earth, he sprang in pursuit of the woman, the mother of the male child. But she was given a huge pair of eagle's wings to fly away from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she was to be looked after for a year, twice a year, and half a year. So the serpent, the dragon, the devil, vomited water from his mouth like a river after the woman to sweep her away in the current. But the earth came to her rescue. It opened its mouth and swallowed the river thrown up by the dragon's jaws. Then the dragon was enraged with the woman and went away to make war on the rest of her children, that is, all who obey God's commandments and bear witness for Jesus. God prepared a place for the woman in the wilderness. So what we probably should understand first of all is this wilderness. What is the wilderness? Or at least, what does this wilderness represent? Well, a wilderness has typically been thought of, a spiritual wilderness, as one that is devoid of life. Now, knowing that the devil, the dragon, the serpent, is the god of the dead, for he himself is dead, he and his spiritual, angelic, or demonic followers, they are dead. They have already been judged, and they are dead. Anyone who has committed themselves to the devil is also dead. They may be alive like the devil is alive, although he is not living, he is alive. You know, when questioned about God and who God is, the God of, the Son of God said, God is God of the living, not God of the dead.
Rick, I was thinking when you were talking about the woman in the wilderness, back, hearkening back to what God attempted to do for Israel when he took them out of Egypt. He took them into the wilderness to teach them. And who was going to teach them in the wilderness? Well, yes, Moses. But with what words?
That's what I said earlier.
Exactly. The words that came
the law
from God through the Holy Spirit into the hearts and minds of the people, where it would be protected until such a time as it needed to be then released into the world. That never happened. What we see here is another iteration of exactly the same thing. Who is the woman?
I said earlier who the woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, this place in the wilderness, I've thought a lot about this, and I have pretty much become convinced that the place in the wilderness that God prepared for the woman is none other than the United States of America. You see, it was to the North America that all those who were being persecuted by the church, quote unquote, the church, which was the Catholic Church, through the Catholic Church's and the Pope's power over the political or regnal rulers of the world, the kings and emperors, that religion or the practice of the spiritual processes of church were tightly controlled by the Catholic Church in Rome, and they were able to effect complete control by threatening excommunication to any king or any person or anyone who would dare to question their authority or do what they had said not to do. So there was only one place that was free from the power of the church, and that was America. Now, it talks about eagle's wings. Now, eagle's wings are not literal, but it is, they are given, that it talks about the woman has eagle's wings to fly to. The people who were escaping Europe and China and all those other places got into ships and sailed across the ocean to the place prepared by God for those who would listen to the woman, where the truth could be preserved.
I can just insert here. I've been thinking a lot about this. This eagle wing thing is probably...
Here, you need a mic.
There you go.
I've thought a lot about this the last few days. This eagle wing thing could have some significance, because what is our national symbol? And these are powerful wings. See, an eagle is powerful. And anyway, that's just a thought I wanted to insert here.
It is because of the United States that the truth has had an opportunity to make its effect upon the hearts and the minds of the people who live here. The Constitution giving the freedom to practice religion as you want to has facilitated an environment where the truth could be known and practiced. Now, the dragon has made his attempt. He has vomited the water, the lies, out of his mouth in an attempt to sweep the woman away. The woman who is the spirit of truth, the source of truth in the wilderness. Now, I've made an observation today. You know what I have said about Revelation 10. What I want you to know is that that beast of Revelation 13 has control of the world, save the United States of America. And they are actively and fervently involved in trying to complete the subjugation of the whole world, which they hope to accomplish through the presidency of Joe Biden and the vice presidency of Kamala Harris. They will immediately move to clamp down on everyone in the world and anyone who does not submit to them, and their agenda will be put in prison. But you see, that can't happen. It can't happen, and it won't happen. And the reason that I say that is, where are the saints? Where are the holy people? Where are those who are in the tent of God? That is his kingdom here on earth. Those in the tent of God. And where are they?
In the United States of America.
What I would like to know is, how many holy people do you think are here? Now, let me tell you. When we're talking about in the tent, we're talking about in the kingdom. And the whole weight of the authority of the deep state is going to be thrown full force on the holy people. Are there what? Four or five? I mean, really, be realistic. That's nonsense. How on earth can four or five people be any threat to the juggernaut of this beast? You see, that beast comes out of the sea once God has established his kingdom here on earth. And he hasn't done that. I mean, there might be four or five or six or seven people in the kingdom. But where are the 144,000? Because we know those four winds are held back until the 144,000 are sealed. Where are they? They're sure being quiet. If this is all going to happen this year, and believe me, that's what their plan is. This year, by, say, April. By April. So where are the 144,000? Tell me. I want to know.
Still in my mother's womb. At best.
I don't even know they're there. And not only that, but what about the five wise bridesmaids? Or that it's not just five more people. That's basically what I believe is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Where are they? Because when this beast comes out of the sea, they're already in the kingdom, and the door is shut. Where are they? I mean, God, either God got it wrong, or
something else is going
this
on.
This is not going to happen as it is described in Revelation 13. It's going to happen as it's described in Revelation 10 and Daniel 2. I want you to know that you can have confidence that what we read in Revelation 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18 and 8 and 9 and possibly some, the last part of 7. I want you to know that in order for all that to take place, there would have to be a kingdom of God on earth today that consists of several hundred thousand people. And it doesn't exist today. So, tomorrow, when we're celebrating our 27th anniversary, we will talk about this that we didn't know back then.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you all for being here today. We encourage you to go to our websites, spiritoftruthministry.net/SM, and our primary website, spiritoftruthministry.net. We encourage you to join us tomorrow for our anniversary program at 10 a.m. Pacific time at this very same place. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a good day. We'll say so long for now, and we'll see you all tomorrow.